PhD at the UCLA School of Public Health, and I think is hopefully contributing to the bling that we just saw on the NIH page. He received a BS from the University of North Carolina and an MPH from UCLA. His interests are in health communication, specifically in applying new technologies to tailor health messaging. He's also interested in the interactions between environment and behavior and how it affects health. His current research involves examining the role of digital technologies and social media on developing health literacy among adolescent populations in California as well as Senegal.
All right, so if you don't want to use the NIH website, I too can give you directions to UCLA, so no problem. I'm happy to be here today. Good morning. I'm going to talk about GIS using it from an international perspective, and specifically using Senegal as a case example. Oh, good, that works. But this doesn't. Okay, I have no relationships to disclose. Let's see if it works now. No, it doesn't.
Okay, sorry.
We'll just go with this, and I'm just going to skip this first one. So as we've seen, GIS can be used to present very detailed and nuanced data. However, when data are not available or very difficult to come by, I want to ask the question, can GIS be a useful tool in showing some distribution of diseases or information for decision makers or policy makers? So the purpose of the presentation is just that, and specifically in resource-limited environments. In order to do so, I will use a case example in Senegal. Senegal is a country of 12 million people located in West Africa, and it is French-speaking. And like many countries in the developing world, and specifically in sub-Saharan Africa, Senegal has a very high maternal mortality rate, 450 deaths per 100,000 women per 100,000 live births. In comparison, the U.S. has 24 deaths per 100,000 live births. So it's a very big disparity. In order to address this issue, I'm assuming the government or some other entity, but for this example, the government, wishes to expand the health workforce coverage, particularly midwives. So the question is, given the data available, what strategies or policies can be implemented to best address this issue? This map is to better orient you all to Senegal. You can see that most of the major cities, and I will guide you through this mouse, most of the major cities are on the western coast. The larger green dot is Dakar. The red dots are also very big cities. The blue are smaller and so forth. And so over here on the eastern part, we have less densely populated areas and a lot of little cities on the Mauritania border. And also interesting to note about Senegal is that cutting through the middle of the country is the Gambia, an English-speaking country. Just to give you an orientation, and here's Senegal. So to start the planning process, there's a need to understand what resources are available, what needs are currently being met, or what needs are present. And those questions require data. However, too often these data are uninterpretable, not in the right unit of analysis, or just unavailable in these sorts of environments. So given data constraints, or I'll talk about the unit of analysis. In the U.S., we have very specific, precise data. Often at the census tract, we saw neighborhood-level data. We saw NIH-level data at addresses. Well, in countries like Senegal, that's not possible. Often it's only at the district level or regional level. This is just an example in Los Angeles, how you can get very specific at the census block to highlight need, and then from there, and even specific neighborhoods where you should address the need, in this case, strategizing community gardens. Well, given data constraints, what are some strategies we could use in Senegal? One of the first strategies we can use is using multiple indicators. For maternal health and midwife expansion, I chose to look at three indicators related to the issue. Childbirths occurring with a trained professional, antenatal care visits during pregnancy, and location of the childbirth. And these data were obtained from the Demographic and Health Survey. This survey is available in over 80 countries worldwide. And so the question is, when we look at these data at the regional level, because that's what it's available at, is there some pattern? Is there some distribution, or are they randomly distributed? As this map shows, there are 11 regions in Senegal. In looking at these maps, poor maternal health indicators are not distributed randomly. The darker the indicator, the poorer the maternal health indicator. And as you can see, the darker the regions are generally on the eastern side of the country. For the most part, the eastern side, as you know, is less populated, more arid, not as good infrastructure. But from these maps, it may be difficult to tell whether one region or a couple regions have a greater burden than others. So later I'll show how weighting these different indicators and then combining the layers may give a more precise understanding of where need according to these three indicators are. Another strategy is using multiple data sources. In this example, the Demographic and Health Survey only provided maternal health indicators. Well, because the government wants to expand midwife coverage, we want to look at how the workforce is distributed now. These data are not available through the DHS, so we have to go to another data source. And it just so happens, after looking around, Senegal has an agency called the National Agency for Demography and Statistics that collects data on health workforce distribution by region. I then looked at the distribution of midwives by region. However, to give a better understanding, I created an index that shows the percent need. And this is based on current midwives per region over the World Health Organization's recommended number of midwives per women of reproductive age. As you can see, need is not distributed randomly. There is some systematic need, again, in the eastern part of the country. And based on this, there are some areas in the western part, more populated areas, that need midwives. So this shows the percent need. I wanted to look at, is there a difference between the crude number of midwives needed per region also, because that is very important. So not looking at a GIS map, but looking at good old Excel, you can see that Dakar, the capital region, the most populated, even though it has the lowest percent need of midwives, it has by far the greatest number of midwives needed. This is important information for decision makers and policy makers, whereas your regions in the east, Matam here, and even Kaolack, they have a greater percent need of midwives, but in fact they need fewer crude number of midwives based on the WHO recommendation. So a final strategy is the creation of an index or indices where you're combining multiple indicators to show maybe a more nuanced or precise understanding of need. So I created an index, and this is called the priority index, and I used the three health indicators, the childbirths at a health facility, assisted childbirth, and antenatal care, along with the percent need of midwives, and I combined all four of these to do a hotspot analysis to show, is there one region that disproportionately suffers from each of these four indicators? And based on your question, these indicators may vary. So based on these four indicators, the priority index shows that the blue regions are very low priority, the gray regions here are moderate, the beige have a higher priority, and then these two regions in the eastern part of the region suffer disproportionately from burdens related to maternal health. This is interesting because I layered city populations because I think it's very it's necessary to know where the biggest. These are multiple ways to look at the problem, and when you layer city populations on top, you see this area that has a very big need also has a lot of big cities in this region. So based on resources, decision makers may say, you know, there are, this area over here has a very big need, but when considering country population, decisions may change. So in moving forward in the planning process, other sources of data may prove relevant, such as health facility locations, infrastructure. There are many factors that go into maternal mortality. And so these maps, this is, for example, this map shows the density of health service, healthcare services. And from this map, you see that the highest priority regions that we identified also have the lowest density of health service locations. Again, this is not as well populated, so that may make sense. Well, look over here where there was another big priority region and highly populated and a very dense number of health services. So this may say that the quality of services may have something to do with poor indicators and not necessarily the geographic proximity. The take home from this presentation is that given data constraints, GIS can be a useful tool in understanding the distribution of resources, need, and illness, and displaying multiple health indicators as well when you have aggregate data only, as well as looking at various data sources can provide relevant information for us. And the results from this analysis may not provide the most accurate or precise, but it certainly provides enough information to start a conversation. And further data regarding the training of midwives, for example, or the retention of midwives would be useful in the next steps. And here are some resources for those of you who work with international GIS data. These would be very helpful resources for you. The first is from the WHO Geo Network, and it has a lot of information on health service delivery and facility location throughout various countries. The others have other information related to infrastructure, roads, power sources, also very important information. The last tool, the Stat Compiler, is provided by Measure DHS along with USAID. And this tool, you can query health indicators from your country, and depending on if it has a district level, regional level, you can visually see those. I don't think that you can layer or weight according to this tool, but you can just look at one indicator from that. So it's a good start, and they're doing, yeah, it's a good start to that. So that's about it. Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
So that last map was really interesting, where you looked at the number of healthcare providers, as well as in Senegal, as well as sort of looking at the higher need areas. Is there something specifically about the populations that live there that maybe they're not accessing the healthcare systems? That may not necessarily be the quality of the actual healthcare provider, but maybe something to do with their own sort of cultural norms around accessing care. And then the other question I had for you too is, do they? You looked at percent of midwives, but how often do people actually present to a hospital, especially in some of those urban areas, to actually have their babies?
Okay, very good questions. So the first question was, in the region that was very densely populated and had a lot of health facilities, could some other factor be at play other than the quality of services that contribute to the high need of, or the poor maternal health indicators? And absolutely, this would be where you give this information to the decision makers on the ground who have the cultural competence of the different regions. So an outsider like myself may not necessarily be able to do that, but working in collaboration with people on the ground, you would be able to kind of tell differences if it's quality, if it's cultural traditions, or if it's they traditionally don't use midwives, for example, they use trained birthing attendants, slight difference there. And the second question was?
Just to that idea, do they use something else other than midwives? Maybe you're not capturing, you know, like you said, the trained birth attendants, or they're going to the hospital or something.
Absolutely. And that's a great, so the question was, is there a difference between midwives or trained birth attendants or physicians or where they're birthing, or does everyone birth at the health facility? Again, these are questions that in collaboration with the people on the ground, we can display different data based on regional norms. In general, in Senegal, midwives are encouraged to give birth, or you are encouraged to use midwives for the birthing process and not the trained birthing attendants because they don't have the appropriate training based on government recommendations. So, and yeah. Was there another question?
I was just wondering if you have any information about how most
That's a good question. The question is, where does the payment of services come into account in people accessing healthcare? Unfortunately, I don't have regional data or anything according to that. You could look at certain demographic health demographic indicators such as socioeconomic status and how that's measured by region. In terms of accessing maternal health, it is a service provided by the government at local health facilities that are dotted throughout the country. Yes. Absolutely. And so the question was, do midwives generally stay at their health facility, or do they travel to various villages or compounds throughout the more rural regions, I'm assuming you're talking about? I think both occur, but the reason I looked at health facilities, it was just to give another kind of data source to compare what we were seeing, like trying to make sense of it. And I'm not sure exactly if there is, I'm sure that varies by region or even by community, whether midwives or, I mean, community health workers are super motivated in some communities, whereas others, they may not be as motivated and go out into the community, so I'm sure that varies, that sort of behavioral variation by community. Right, so the geo network I use for the health facilities, and the I have some other maps that I didn't present that show infrastructure and power sources. The infrastructure certainly could provide some more information, but that was from the Diva GIS. And the administrative boundaries, a lot of times those are very difficult to get in developing countries. So even if you have maybe district level data, you only have regional level layers in GIS, so you still can't show a more precise understanding. Mm-hmm. Were there any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.